that would mean then we're in charge of keeping it, not this person.
Okay. All right.
Well, the communication that she has sent me is that they maintain it.
See her?
And, you know, it's probably not that important, right? Like, it's something we can add. It's when it pops up everywhere that it becomes an issue. And the reason this came up is because somebody wants to put it up in my neighborhood.
There's one in Blystone, too, right there at the bike trail.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Looks like a little bit of a schoolhouse. All right. 4:48 on Monday, the 17th, with Chief Homick. Just some of the ongoings with our fire department. Anything with the... we selected a construction manager or a design engineer?
We have not finalized it yet. We have some packets of stuff that we got back from the both groups to review and then to go through that process.
Okay.
We had two separate meetings with GDI was one of them, and then the collaborative group was the second one. Met with both of them, and then we did walkthroughs with the building and looking at the space and the project, and then, you know, sat down and asked questions. And then they were sending some additional information our way on it.
Okay.
So hope to have something fairly soon with a decision or a recommendation made for the board to take action with.
Does any of them give, if, let's say we pick one of them tomorrow, come up with a design, and then 90 days to start?
That was one of the things that both of them were supposed to be one kind of a timeline for us to submit. We have gotten something from GDI back. I have not had a chance to review it yet, open it up yet, but
okay.
We did ask for a little bit of an idea on the kind of a ballpark timeline of how long it would take to get the process started.
Yeah. And then the concrete work out front, what's the ET on that?
So they're on the last two bays. They basically have done one set of bays every week. So they started this morning with the last two bays, and they should finish by the end of the week. So everything should be driveled again by next month.
Okay. Does that cause any delays and calls or anything?
No issues. A little bit of shuffle, a little bit of reorganization and moving things around. Not really caused any inconveniences or anything. The staff's been great with the adjustment and relearning where their gear is and relearning where the trucks are coming back from ship to ship.
Or laying concrete when it's snowing outside.
So far, they've been blessed with pretty good weather. I mean, other than a couple of days that got really, really cold again. They laid the concrete on typically Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. They're doing the demo. Tuesday, if they don't have the demo finished, they finish that up and then start laying the forms and everything for it. And then Thursday, they pour the concrete, and then it sits for the Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and we're able to drive at least the lightweight vehicles on Monday. The first set of bays they did, it's been 2 weeks from, so we can reluctantly have to put the heavier vehicles on that now. Mm-hmm. 2 weeks, they said they were more comfortable with than starting it off after the, it's a fast dry, so it's supposed to be two or these where it's drivable again. That's why they're doing it Thursday, and then by Monday we're able to drive the smaller lightweight vehicles on it. But we gave it an extra full week plus to before we drove the engine or the truck on them. So today we started where we had to move them over to the last bay, the first set of bays that was done 2 weeks ago. So no problems yet.
Okay. Did you get a copy of this? So just kind of going through. This is one thing Gavin kind of mentioned. So on the staff, you know, he said you're looking at a payroll system because on some weeks it's 76 hours, some it's 112 rather than the...
Yeah, so at the beginning of September, we made a change with the full-time personnel under the bargaining unit. We went from a 14-day FLSA work period to a 21-day FLSA work period, which allowed us to then separate their Kelly days. Because we had, prior to that, we had two people off on a Kelly day at the same time, which was creating a scheduling problem. We didn't get a part-time personnel to fill in on one spots. We were going to mandate overtime. So we talked with the union through the labor management, and they agreed to look at the 21-day schedule, which allowed them to basically pick a Kelly day in any day out of the week. Before, they were limited to having only certain days as a Kelly day. So then we worked with all the full-time, the fire and the EMS personnel, and we situated them to one day off every, so out of the six people on the shift, five are typically the full-time. So we'll have five full-time people. So out of the 7 day, one of the full-time people will be off each day. That'll be 2 days. We'll have all five full-timers on and only one newcomer working. So the other days that we have one person off, we could have two part-timers working that day to make the total of six. So that change had to be made, though, to change their cycle of overtime from 14 days to 21 days. So now they can work with our two-week pay period and the three-week cycle of time. It overlaps a little bit. So it could be 1 week in the pay period and 1 week not in the pay period.
So the week that they're getting 112 hours, or they're only paid 112 hours of straight time, not overtime.
Yeah, because overtime now goes to six shifts, which is 144 hours.
The whole point of this conversation was we need special
software. Well, the payroll system used, even though it's 76 hours this week, 112, the payroll system used 112 as...
So there's a report that has to be generated 16
hours
for the pension
of overtime.
System that says what their regular hours are, what overtime hours they are, and what their base hours are. And that's been what's been a little bit difficult to come up with, because they could have three shifts, they could have five shifts, and that makes it different across the board for people. In the 28-day cycle, that Colette has to look at to tell them what they made for police and fire. So our scheduling company, Alantech, we talked to them about they can, for a one-time fee, create us a custom payroll form that would then be able to be uploaded into HR Butler or the iSolve system that we have. But we can tell them exactly what we want it to show in that period, so that will help get that information. So I talked with Gavin about that, and we're just going to start working on that and actually what we need to do is institute that too. So hopefully that becomes much easier and much clearer for.
I mean, is that a one time? I mean, how often? Like, does they have to come in and reprogram everything, or what is that?
It's basically the payroll, the scheduling. We have the payroll module with the scheduling system, but what it doesn't recognize all the hours currently. And in order to change that, they can't make a system change. They have to make a custom report for us to then pull that information out of. So. It should be just a one-time setup for that, and then
it'll go on the fixed pay period.
That whenever we can get it set up, that we'll be able to have that going for each pay period. And it should help us in the long run too of consolidating our time that's spent on payroll. Then, because a lot of the stuff we have to manually adjust because the payroll system doesn't do what we want it to 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 do so. There's a lot more work that has been going into the payroll process, so this should help all around.
And then, you know, we've talked about this before, the staffing on the non-peak hours. You know, do we need that additional paramedic from 11 to 7 at night?
So our RMS system, record management system, ESO, they made some changes in the portion of it that does all the statistical reporting, as I explained when I didn't have some of the reports that I normally give you. I've been trying to work with them as far as the new system. It went from something called Ad Hoc to Insights, and now Insights doesn't have quite the robust library of forms and reports. So I've been trying to get some of those reports worked with them to get incorporated into it so that we can get much better data to see that. But we have been having a lot of EMS calls overnight, mainly EMS calls. And then a lot of the we're still in the 20s to almost 30% of overlapping calls throughout the day. And you know, that's the only concern or issue with making sure that we can staff the two medics or the medic unit and the truck as the truck and as it needs to go on a fire call. I mean, that's kind of where we're at with the position of if we drop down to four, something's not rolling out instantaneously. It's waiting for people to come here. And that could be a detriment to the operations of things if we don't have enough.
Well, is that something you, with the data that you have, you could pull together 3 months, 6 months worth of data, say, hey, here's our, you know, a bell curve, you know, from midnight to, you know, midnight to midnight. Where's our call volume at?
What are you trying to accomplish by this? We've been talking about this for 6 months.
Well,
I mean, we've got full staffs. The fire department is doing a great job. You keep bringing up night staffing.
Right.
Because you got a personnel, or what are you going to do? You're going to lay off part-time people at this point. So I understand where you're coming from, but the township is doing nothing but growing.
Right.
So there
are I'm trying to minimize our overtime.
That's what his job he's doing right now is by changing the payroll system to minimize overtime. Right. But what I'm saying, you've brought this up numerous times, and I don't see the point of trying to cut back on the fire department.
I want to see the data.
Yeah, so I'm working to get all the relevant data so that we can have the best student from look at it and to do it. But the problem exists. It's a call, like I said, where if we go down to under the six, we have typically a four-person truck that responds to a structure fire or a house fire, an investigate to a fire or a fire alarm. So that's four people that have to respond on that vehicle. That was an upstaffing that we had to do as part of the safer grant well. We had to respond with four on that. The other types of calls where we have the engine going to like an outdoor fire to a car accident, that only takes us in crew of three. And then when the medic has to go on those calls as well, it gives us a minimum of having five people that we need to have. But the six-person staffing, you know, we're at the fire call for a house fire, four on the truck, two on the medic unit. If we drop to five, we'll be able to respond right away with anything other than a structure fire. But that's what the worry is, that in the middle of the night, that's when it's most vulnerable, most dangerous for our residents. The structure fire typically is going to involve people sleeping at home. So we need to have a fire crew ready. We need to have an EMS crew ready to go to those types of calls. And so that if we have to go in and search and accomplish that, if we have to pull somebody out, then we have an EMS crew that's ready there. Otherwise, we have to look at somehow of changing the operation, because if we only had five on, we wouldn't have a complete crew to respond for that. Okay. We wouldn't be meeting the NFPA requirements that we need to upstaff for, and we'd be at a little bit of a disadvantage.
I mean, if you could pull together that data with the call volume, you know, that
call volume, and you know, we've had a full-time staff now for a while, so let's see the runtime improvements that we're aiming for.
Okay, that is one of the ones, the response time ones that in a way, and I haven't been able
right
get it back yet. But
you know, prior to hiring full time, when we were at 12 minutes an hour, at 7 minutes.
Okay.
I hope neither of those times are true. Trudy probably knows them.
No,
okay.
I just, to me, you know, the safety has been number one since I said
it. I know, that's Trudy.
And for everybody to go, well, chief has to jump through this hoop, and chief has to jump through this. Heaven help us if any of us are laying on our driveway or at 2 a.m. in the morning and not have enough staff to go ahead and cover the station. Period.
All right. This is down here where this Lexapol for fire department.
It's policy and procedure manual that's on there, because we're supposed to have that updated and
right. Yeah, so I mean, Lexapol, to me, it's something if you want us to look at, we can look at it. Lexapol has, we had it in Perrysburg Township when I was there. It took our SOP manual from being like this to being like this. And they have a lot of federal policies or state policies that are laws and different things that we already know that we have, but they put them in writing then into.
Yeah.
No, we don't want you to use Lexapol. We want a policies and procedure manual that's up to date, that's coherent with county, that the union approves that, all that these policy procedures equal your policies and procedures. And it's not coming from us. We wouldn't even know you have policies and procedures. We heard we need updated manuals.
Right. Yes. So, Lexapol is one of the options. Okay. If we don't go with Lexapol, then yes, we're rewriting our own, which is just, it's just time consuming to do. But
now, is that something
we try to
Tom, or Ryan, or Tom or Ryan can do, or one of your officers, Les or Jason, or
well, we would have all the office involved in it. Yes. And, A month or 2 months ago, I put out, asking for members that wanted to be involved in it, and I really only got one member response back that said that they would help with it.
Nice.
So it's been a little bit with the last staffing hiring, getting that done, getting the fire prevention replaced, and trying to keep up with fire prevention. Now we got Ryan on board. My efforts can concentrate more on that. So that's. You know, moving up to a higher priority on the list of things to get accomplished. It's really going to just a review of everything that's out there, getting some new and updated information in there. I mean, we have some that are really old, but I mean, some of them are, you know, one of the really old ones contains information about driving as a public safety vehicle, and you know, that those are state laws; those don't change. So.
Right.
It just needs a refresh of the format to look with different and redesign. It doesn't need a signature on it that I see. I mean, once we adopt it all, so we don't have the change of having, you know, two fire chiefs ago whose name was on this policy and that. But we do constantly look at those and see what we need to look at those.
Right.
See what
you just
we
have
need
an
to
updated.
Right.
Yeah.
And you put that on your calendar to update every 18 months or
so. I mean, is that
months.
Something... I mean, see, reasonable completion, say, 6 months from now?
Seems to me like a human resources consultant is needed. If Gavin actually hires somebody, this seems like a job they could do, coordinate our policies and procedures and go through and give Chief what he needs to get approved and get the format all the same. And
wouldn't that person also need to know
the fire code, yeah.
I mean, the main backbone of some of the HR policies, sorry, yeah. I didn't mean to interrupt, the backbone of some of the HR policies that we have in, like, the Township Handbook that Dawn had wrote in that with Harold and whoever else was involved in that. Some of those are consistent across.
Right.
With the exception of whatever's in the bargaining unit. But then some of the ones that are operational based, yeah, it would take knowledge. Or
absolutely.
Is that something the Ohio Fire Chiefs Association could help us with?
I was just thinking of someone who could coordinate it for you. So you just got the information.
Yeah, here's updated. Our old manual, and they say, well, you should probably update this section, period.
Yeah.
Update it how we like, or here's our suggestion, here's our recommendation.
I mean, we can certainly take a look at Lexapol again. Like I said, Lexapol takes quite a bit of work on the setup because they give you a bunch of canned documents. And there's, like, insertions that you have relevant to your department or your type of operation.
Right, if Lexapol worked, it'd already be done.
Yeah.
So I don't
I think
that's
I mean, a, I would just,
we,
you know, let's keep
I,
it
I don't
simple.
Know that
we
ever looked
it
at
house
it.
Was, and
it got brought up, but yeah, I mean, our current policy manual that we have, it just, you know, there's several things that just need a refresh that need a good review to make sure. I mean, tactics, you know, it's not a black and white thing that says, when this call comes in, you do this, then you do this, then you do this, then you do this. It's guidelines and best practices that are out there. That's what we need to have. But if we have a specific type, you know, that we need to do based on the occupancy we have or a call that we continuously get, we need to have those guidelines put together for our people so that they have a reference. But the other things, it's when, you know, something unusual happens. You know, what do we do in an accident to
so
make
how
sure?
How are you
this
getting it done is
yeah,
the question.
Yeah, that's your question. Yeah, I mean, it sounds like Lexapol is more trouble than it's worth. I mean, we don't want to take our policy from an inch to 4 inches. That just
it makes it more difficult to know policies when it's the stick.
How do we get a refresh? How do we get accurately and timely. Is that through the Higher Fire Chiefs? Is that through the Employers Association? You talk with Harold, come up with, you know, bring us back, hey, we've talked to this, this, and this, here's how we're going to do it.
We're going to hire a consultant, we're going to hire human resources.
Yeah, initially
my sister was a technical writer. She wrote the entire flight attendant training manual, right? Like, there's people like that out there. And I get you need to approve it with your policies and your people, but they can organize the work. And I would say that our policy, the township and policies and procedures need to be updated regularly. It's always on schedule. You put a date at the when it was updated and when it's expected.
Like the zoning manual.
When it's expected to be re-updated. So, you know, is our vacation policy still a good policy? Well, in 3 years we examine it, and yes, it is, and we approve it and we move on. Like, it's got to be on a cycle, or this happens all the time. And I love the idea of not putting a chief's name on it. Then it's just a date. No, we're always working on these.
Certainly, the more people we have working on it, the faster it would go.
A retired firefighter could do this.
You know, so, but, I mean, you know, like I said, my target is to try to get into this now.
Well, why don't you, Harold, discuss what you think the best avenue.
We can come up with a timeline.
To get it done accurately and up to date and in a timely manner. And, you know. Let us know who you have, and Earl will let us know in a couple weeks. The equipment schedule, and I didn't have that in front of me here, but what's scheduled for replacement for 26?
We had the SCBA compressor as one of the major purchases. We have some light packs that we need to do. Two out of the four light packs are entering their sundown phase, so that parts may or may not be available for them. So we need to look at updating those. I've started talking with the vendors on those as far as the options out there. They have some options of buying all four at once, paying for two now, and paying for later. Working into some phased payment plans for those type of things. So I'm trying to collect some of that information so that we could start working on that. We do have the engine that's scheduled for 27 to be replaced that I'd like to get working on, so that we can get that started and put together, look at those.
You think, are you leaning towards Pierce again?
I'm not leaning really towards one or other. We want to get the best that we have for out there. We've tried to stick with the single source manufacturer. So there's three basically that are out there as single source manufacturers. That means that they manufacture everything. They don't make the engine that runs the vehicle, but they make the cab, they make the chassis, they make the pump, those type of things, or take over for the pump, so that when you get to a problem or an issue, it's not like, well, this is the chassis problem, not ours. We made the pump, okay, that type of thing. So we've tried to always go with those, but of that, there's, you know, the Pierce's one, Run Rosemore would be another. Spartan is now a single source manufacturer. Sutphin as being one of the other ones that does that. So we can look at those, the available ones that are out there. It's not as specialized as the aerial is, but we are looking at trying to make it into a rescue engine, so it has a box with taller compartments on it for more space, because it's the vehicle that responds for the traffic accident, so it has a little bit of a different mission than just not just a fire response.
Okay. The compressors, is those lead times to order?
Now the government shutdown done is, we're able to hopefully start working on the process with the grant with the SCBAs and that. The compressor is not part of the grant. It was removed from the individual grants. It was only available under the regional grant, so we have to do that one on our own. So we can, I have the quotes that we did from the company that services our compressor currently, and that breathing air systems that we've used in the past. So we have a couple ideas at least to get started with as to what we need to do. We can get a couple more from out the companies that are out there and get started on that process. Yeah.
Those are budgeted replacement. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, for the compressor itself and the fill station, because that was not eligible under the grant.
So I guess I would encourage him to, you know, get going on those and right after the first year or whenever, but, you know, get those ordered. But on the truck for 27, at least, you know, get our specs and out there. So if there is a 6, 12, 18-month lead time, that we can get ahead of that. Or, if, again, you know, hey, there's a demo out there and it's 90% of what we want, you know, but we can get a deal on it, or, you know.
And we do need to look at it. Wasn't necessarily in there. We need to look at our backup unit. We have the two units now. It's a 2017 that just flipped over to 100,000 miles. The other one is the one that we got from the county, which is a 2013 with 130,000 miles on there. Yeah. So we have to look at that option and see what we can do, how healthy our EMS fund has been in that, and what we can look at for a possible. You know.
Well, I would encourage at least the county unit. Let's work on getting that replaced. You know, I know that lead time is great, but
and that one similar to what we do with,
you know,
Medicare,
12 years older. Yeah,
we can look at the the demos with those again, because those are more than adequate for the EMS response. It's only when we get into some of the more specialized equipment that we need to look at being able to design. There are some stock units in the fire units available, as long as they would have the compartmentation or the body that we're looking for. We can make some minor adjustments to the interior layout, to things like adding phone systems and that. They're usually plumbed for that, but they may not have it on there.
Okay. And then any updates on the LaFrance out back? We're going to let it sit out there where?
No, we've just stayed with them to at least addressing it, as well as potentially looking at some sort of weather cover for it right now, so that we can get it under some cover and get some protection on it. But we do have that brought up again for them to.
I mean, for
to start looking.
$500 because you buy one of them portable tents or whatever. Yeah, just keep the weather out of it. Something.
Yeah. No, it would definitely be best to do that before we start getting some of the snow.
Okay.
Some more snow.
Do you have questions for us, or how can we help you be more successful in your position? Do you want to give Trudy, an update on Ryan's progress? You and I talked last week.
Yeah, he started Thursday the 6th. We started with some orientation and some onboarding with him, getting him familiar with the systems that we have. The inspection process he knows. He's been with the city of Toledo. He's been doing fire inspections for a long time. It's just learning our software versus the software that they use. And then we're working on devising a plan to address the things that we haven't gotten to this year, and how we can best incorporate that into the schedule. He's going to be helping me with that onboarding process with the iRoll system that we started. We're looking at a go live in January and mid to late January or early February for that system, which will help the fire prevention aspect a lot in the work that they do. And now it's just getting him out there and getting him on the ground running. Yeah. He's ready for
it. So the trucks are out on Halloween?
We did. We had four vehicles out together through the neighborhoods, and had a good response from both the firefighters and the kids, and the adults. They enjoyed it, and everybody enjoyed seeing us out in the neighborhoods. No issues or problems that night for us or for the sheriffs that I heard of while we were out. So it was another safe and successful event.
All right. Thank you. Barbara, before you arrived, Dawn has got some information on the joint road district we're going to add under new business.
Okay.
That we were asked for by Waterville Township Zoning to look into.
have the tools, tool belt yet.
It's not.
The state has to allow it. At some, they have
it's
to
not
create
authorized.
There's some homework for the OTA.
Yeah, I do have that. That's right. I could take whatever you need me, and that's Friday.
I have this for each of you to take a look at. And give feedback. This is the sort of trying to expand on a project we've been talking about for a while, trying to gear the right type of businesses into the JBBZ areas. So if you want to take a look at that and any comments or additions or welcome to get a hold of me.
Okay, that's what I was wondering. Because no, I'm not that quick of a reader to say.
No.
This is eliminating big of the passive income businesses, but the only I solar, yeah, that's on there. Yeah.
So, yeah, you don't have to read it right now. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, you're welcome to, but
okay.
Yeah, that's for you to take and spend some more time on.
Windmills, cells?
See, you can.
Okay.
The more thought, the more people contribute, the better.
Okay.
I'll note windmills.
It looks like a great start.
With Jeff Michael not getting reelected out in Swanton, that they have two new trustees up there. I don't know the township is on the airport jet board. When is that coming up for cycle? And that is something to think about that will.
Jeff sits on it. Jeff sits in that position.
He represents both us and Swan right now, yes.
Right, so it's going to come up January 1st when he no longer is a trustee.
Correct.
But there's no reason he can't fill up, continue his term.
You don't need to be an elected official to do it.
Correct.
That sounds like there needs to be a conversation.
Yeah, if, well, maybe with the new Swanton trustees, if they, we need to come to an agreement. If they wish him to continue forward.
Except if he has the term and he doesn't have to be an elected official, he doesn't have to give up the seat.
Right.
Okay. You're saying the person does not have to be an elected official to sit in that capacity.
Correct. It's just always worked well to have.
So we need to know what Jeff's intention is, and then yes, a conversation with the new trustees probably makes sense. And are you doing something about LCTA and year end? Like, are you having a December? 12th?
Oh yes, Oliver Turner. They're having a dinner at Brandywine again. I'll have him.
No. That just might be a way to gather some of this, right?
December's getting awful busy. Yeah.
I know it is.
Yeah, I'd have to look at my emails.
And I sent you an email that said I'd send it out. Like, all these township associations are sending it out to all the OTA people. I can send it out to all those people if it's helpful to have them attend.
Okay.
Or a speaker from there or something. I don't know what you're thinking, Chuck.
I
thinking about it, right?
Got a lot of plate.
Yeah. We can holler about it later.
Yeah. I've been in 23 furniture stores in the last 30 days.
Seriously?
Sounds like so much fun. I wish I could be. I need a small couch, not the couches they sell like at Value City that take up a whole.
Go out to Samson's out in Genoa.
You liked it.
We were just there. It's like, why didn't we come here first? Yeah.
It's always the last place, isn't it?
We were there.
The last place you look.
Yeah.
It sounds like we have a crowd out there. Is that just going to be standard from now on?
I did share